It's good to have everybody in here. The message kind of goes along with what we're having communion this morning, blessed and broken in the Master's hand. And I want to share with you about how God wants to use us and multiply us to be all that we need to be in His kingdom. But let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the Spirit that's already here to touch your people. Father, open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive everything that you have by your Spirit. We thank you. We honor you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tell you what, it feels like this morning, just it's so laid back. I just feel God's presence. But anyway, let's look at the first scripture this morning. Matthew will be our key scripture. And it says, Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to recline on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he blessed, and he broke the loaves, and handed the pieces to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the 12 small hand baskets full of broken pieces left over. When we look at this and we read this, man, there's so many people that have preached on this, and you can get so much out of this. There's so much in this that you could, even when I was looking at this, I was started seeing a lot of things that I could have talked about, but there's just one focus I really want to focus on through this whole process. But the one thing I want to say is that when the disciples had something and a little boy they were going to feed the multitudes, Jesus said, "Bring him to me." And when we bring everything to the Lord, it's amazing what God can do with it if you just give it to him. But let's look at some. One of the most powerful principles that you can ever learn is the principle of divine multiplication or the law of multiplication. And that's what I want to share with you a little bit this morning about. The disciples realized that the multitudes didn't have any food, and they anxiously reported the crisis to Jesus, said, "Hey, Lord, we got 5,000 men alone, and plus the wives and the children." And so the people were hungry. They were following Jesus everywhere he went. And so there was only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish in what we read in Matthew. And how many know that's not enough to feed over 5,000? There's probably 10,000 people there. That's not enough to feed. The cost of food for even a portion of a crowd like that is way past the disciples' budget. They didn't have MasterCard, so they couldn't just pull it out of their pocket and say, "Okay, I'm going to feed the multitudes here." Or they were far enough away that they couldn't go get the food they needed. And so we see here the disciples been... They were surprised by what they heard next. And here's what Jesus said to them. Here's all these people, and there's this multitude of people, and God says, you feed them. He said, "They don't need to go away. Give them something to eat." Now, maybe Jesus didn't hear the disciples very well. Listen, Linda, listen, you know. They didn't hear very well what Jesus said. And it's kind of like us as Christians sometimes, people, that when God wants us to do something that's beyond this, we go, but Lord, you don't understand. How am I going to do this? Or how am I going to accomplish this? Or Lord, this is too big. Or Lord, this is just, I don't know if I can do this. But it's amazing that God made them see something by saying, "You go feed them." And the disciples started to react to what he said there. And it seemed so ridiculous to the disciples that he would even ask them to distribute a small amount of food to all these people. But that's what Jesus asked them to do. Now, here's the thing. Jesus asked disciples to do something that was impossible. impossible. How many have ever stood in front of an impossible situation? I mean, you looked at it and said, how am I going to do this? There's many times that we want to be able to give to somebody or help somebody, but we're limited in our resources. But you know what God is saying? Give what you got. Give what you got. And well, Lord, this is my last, and I need this. I need this so that I can put gas in the tank or I can buy this last bit of groceries. And sometimes the Lord will tell you to do something that is out of your comfort zone. I know he's done it to me before. He's told me to give my last 15 bucks in my wallet. And Lord, I need that. That's what I got. Lord, that's money I need to go home on. And the Lord said, give it in the offering. So I gave it in the offering. And it wasn't too long later before I was ready to go home. Somebody came up, and it was one of the teachers. And he came up and he said, Audie, he said, you going home this weekend? I said, yeah, I'm going home. And I lived about 150 miles from the Bible College to Bismarck, North Dakota. And he said, well, the Lord told me to give you some money so you can have gas and stuff to get home. See, we don't understand that when God tells us to release something, he always brings the increase in another way. And we hold on to what we should lose. That's the world's way. We hang on, we sit on it, and we hold on to it when we should release it. And so we're looking at here that Jesus asked him to do something that was totally impossible. But many times, you and I will get into situations that seem impossible, and the easiest thing to do is to avoid them. But listen, people, we need to learn to stay and stand in the midst, in the middle of those things. That's when you're going to experience God. That's when you're going to experience God. Ephesians 6:13, let's look at this. Having done all the crisis demands. There's enough there, isn't it? Let's just close and go home. How many have been in crisis before? Having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Don't move because you might get a miracle. We miss the blessing of God because we move too soon. Instead of waiting on the Lord. See, I've learned to listen to the Lord and not jump ahead of God. Do I do it all the time? No, but either do you. Sometimes we miss it. But that's when we focus on him. See, the key difference between what appears to be impossible to us and what is actually possible is the word from the Lord. God said, you feed them. You feed them. God will ask you to do something that seems impossible. He might ask you to do something that is out of your comfort zone. He might ask you to step out in faith, but he does it for a reason, because he has a word to back it up. It's his word. He'll back it up with his word. Because Jesus had given the command, the disciples obeyed, and they witnessed an incredible miracle. How many remember years ago at the Blessing of the Bikers, we were running out of potatoes? That was a miracle. God multiplied the food. They were down to a couple potatoes, and somebody said, hey, we're just about out of potatoes, and the line was way down there. But the funny thing is, they prayed, and as they were handing potatoes out, more potatoes were in there. They just kept giving them, kept giving them, kept giving them, kept giving them, until everybody went through the line and had a little bit of potatoes left over. That was a miracle of God, because when you're down to a couple of potatoes and you got like 50-some people left to feed or more, you can't really dissect it that much. But it was a miracle what God did, and everybody was all excited. Wow, God did a miracle of the multiplication. So that's what God's business is. See, because he'd done this, the disciples obeyed when he said to do what he told them to do. See, listen, people, faith accepts what God is saying, his divine command, and it steps out in the direction that only God can meet you and do it. When you step out in faith, see, faith is action. When you are praying about something, maybe you're praying about something and you need God to do something in your life, and you step out in faith, when you step out, faith pleases God. When you step out in faith, then you are telling God that I'm stepping out by faith, and then God gets to get involved in it. It's hard for the angels, it's hard for God or anybody to get involved when we do not step out in faith and trust Him. When you do that, it gives God the right to step out with you. But listen, if you attempt only things that you know are possible, or I have the resources for this, no one will ever see God at work in that situation. And see, so the whole crowd got to see a miracle of God. Write this down. God wants you to experience multiplication, increase in your life. God wants you to experience multiplication and increase in your life. Why do we settle for less when God has more? Amen? Why do we settle when God has so much more for us people? God told Abram, let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Here's what he said. And I will make my covenant, solemn pledge between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. I like that. And down, when you go down to verse 6, it says, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. If you'll notice something about Abraham, Abraham left his home, he left his family, he left everything behind to step out in faith, to be obedient to what God had told him to do. God had promised him a child, the promised child, and he stepped out in faith and went to a land that he was not even familiar with. And the neatest thing about this is that when Abraham stepped out, God multiplied him and increased him in every area of his life. It didn't matter what Abraham touched. It didn't matter. It prospered and it was blessed. People were envious of Abraham. They were envious that he had all this blessings and stuff that God had given him. And he even told the king of Sodom one time, he said, King, I ain't taking anything from you, because then people would know that it came from man. My blessings come from him. So Abraham multiplied. God said, I'm going to multiply you. And I'm not talking about just blessings, people. I'm talking about being used in God's kingdom for God's purpose for that hour. And God multiplied him and increased him in every way in his life, especially being a part of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God told Abraham that he would increase him to the great degree and up to a great abundance in his life. Listen, people, that's what God wants to do for his people. He wants to increase you to a great degree. That's what that word means. When I looked it up in the Hebrew, it means to increase him to a great degree and up to a great abundance. That's what God wants to do in your life, in every area of your life, that there's no lack. The Bible says that Jesus gave thanks and blessed and broke the loaves. There's three things I want to talk about here. Jesus did a miracle, but there's three things that he did. And there's three things that we need to focus on in our life that will help us to see increase. The first one, write this down. The first key to experience divine multiplication or increase is thanksgiving. Sometimes we don't thank the Lord enough. You know what thanksgiving does? It seals it. It seals the petition. It seals everything ahead of time. Philippians 4:6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. How many ever get worried? Here's a promise here that says don't worry about a thing. Well, Lord, that's easy for you to say. You're God. Well, there's a reason why he's God, because he can back it up. But we worry about everything. And God is trying to teach us not to worry. But it says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance. How many have circumstances? How many are dealing with circumstances this morning? And in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with what? With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Continue. Don't be afraid to go to God and say, Lord, we got to talk. Do you think God's too busy for you to talk? No. God's not too busy to listen to what you have to say, what you're dealing with, the circumstances you're facing. We don't bring them to God, but we feel like that we can settle the issue ourselves. Now, there's some things that God demands and wants you to use common sense and to settle, but there's things that are going to come your way, people, that you need God. Everybody say, I need God. In this situation, amen, whatever it is, everything by prayer and petition. Petition is writing out your request to God and say, Lord, right here, I've wrote out what I want to talk about with you. The Passion says, offering your faith-filled request before God. How many know God doesn't answer prayer? He answers faith in the prayer. People pray all over the world and they ain't getting nothing. But when you pray in faith according to the word, according to heaven, according to all that God has blessed us with, trust me. But it says, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Sometimes we only go to God when we're in desperate need. But God doesn't want you when you're just in desperate need. He wants to fellowship with you and break bread with you and to have time with you to spend so that he can show you who he really is. Amen? God can really show you who he is. And so let's look at the second one. The second key to experience divine multiplication of increase is the blessing. The blessing. The barak. The blessing of God. Now, let's look at a word here I want you to look at. It's the word eulogia, where you get eulogy, which means to consecrate a thing with sincere prayers, okay? In the Greek, it means to consecrate a thing with sincere prayers. Listen, if you want something to multiply or increase in your life, you first got to consecrate it with prayer. Nothing moves in the earth except through prayer. You didn't get saved except somebody prayed for you. You had somebody up the line, generation, praying for your salvation that you may not even know about. But their prayers have continued on even after they're gone. They're continued on. That's biblical. They will not return void, but they will accomplish and prosper in the thing that it's sent to by the Holy Spirit. And so you're here because of the product of prayer. My sister prayed for me when I would just ridicule her, laugh at her. I'm going to pray for you. I said, you pray all you want. I'm not going to be no religious freak. She said, tears in her eyes. I just make her miserable. But she was on her dying bed with cancer. And I went up to Rochester, Minnesota. 3 days later, she passed away. But when it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went in there, and I was kneeling down by her bed, and she woke up, and she had hepatitis C so bad, she was just pure yellow. And I looked at her, and I said, Mary, thank you for praying for Rodney and I. Thank you that you didn't give up, but you have fruit that will remain. And somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. And so if you want something to change, if you want something to increase or multiply through your life, you've got to consecrate it to God. Now listen, the word consecrate means to dedicate or devote. The word devote means to commit or give over to God. You've got to dedicate that. You've got to give that thing over to God, because if you try to do it yourself, it ain't going to happen. Excuse me, it's not going to happen. All right. So you have to concentrate it in prayer. That's something you do. You have to give it to God. When God told Moses to tell the people to consecrate themselves because he was going to show up, that means that they were to get themselves ready, purified, make sure there wasn't anything in their life, and dedicate themselves and devote themselves and commit everything over to God for that time frame. So write this down. The third key to experience divine multiplication and increase was the breaking. The word break means to separate in pieces. When Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread into pieces, the first thing he did is he thanked his Father. Thanksgiving seals it. I mean, when you go to God and say, Lord, I thank you that your word says, and I believe your word, and I believe you more than I believe what I see or what I feel or what I'm running in against. I thank you that you're God. You're my Father, and I can come to you. I give you thanks for that. You're already thanking him ahead of time for what you know God can do and will do for you. And then he went into the blessing, where he began to bless and break the bread. He blessed it. He consecrated. He took the loaves and he took the fish, what he had, the only thing he had, and he said, Lord, this is what I got. I dedicate it. I consecrate it. I devote this to you. Everybody's watching. They're listening to Jesus pray this. And then he broke it. He stepped out in faith and began to break the pieces. Had everybody sit down and get ready for the miracle. It represents sanctification. Now, your word is missing the N, so don't pay attention. I had to correct this morning. Sanctification means to set apart for God. Listen, in the kingdom of God, whenever we give thanks for when we ask, listen to me. Whenever we give thanks before we even ask, and whatever we consecrate, we dedicate, or we commit, or we give over to God in prayer, and we set it apart or we separate it for God's purpose, we give him permission to multiply it and use it for his kingdom. When we do those three things, what we're saying, God, I'm separating this, I'm for your purpose, can you use it? Lord, I'm a mess. I've been separated in so many ways, but can you use me to be a vessel for your honor and glory of what I have? You bet God can. He can take the little you got, and he can multiply that through you and use you for the purpose of the kingdom of God. When I came to the Lord, I didn't have anything I felt to offer God. And God said, you've got a lot to offer, because I'm going to make you and build you and teach you and increase you and then multiply you to be what I called you to be. And that's what God says to each and every one of us here today. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've gone through, what you're going through. God can take the little you have and he can increase it, multiply that through your life to make a difference in somebody else's. Well, why would God ever want to use me? Look at me. Look at the messed up life I did. Look what I did, and blah, blah, blah. That's God's business. God's already taken care of that through the cross. But God wants to use us. God wants you to experience multiplication, increase in your life. Are you ready to give thanks for what you're asking God to do? He's willing to do for you. This is what God wants to do. Are you ready to be a blessing by committing yourself to Him and giving the little you have over to God? Are we ready? Are you willing to be broken and set apart for God to do all He's asking you to do for Him? Are we willing to be set apart and say, Lord, I'm setting myself apart. Sanctify me. Set me apart to be used for your glory. That's all God is asking, is that we will set apart ourselves to allow Him to do something in our lives to make a difference in somebody else's life. See, leadership's not about power. It's not about names. It's not about this prestige and that. Leadership is about serving. To be the greatest leader in the kingdom is to be the servant of all. And all God is asking us as God's people and God's Christian, are you willing to be multiplied and increased? Let me increase you to be all that I called you to be, no matter what it is. Are you willing to give God the little that you have and say, Lord, I'm giving you the little, and watch God bless it and break it apart and use you and increase it for His kingdom? That's what God's asking for. And it all comes down to this, people. It comes down to a surrendered heart. If you will proceed with what He has told you, no matter how incredible it might look like, it might seem, you will experience the joy of seeing God perform miracles of increase and multiplication through your life, and those around you will get to see it and experience it in their own life. See, God is wanting us to be used to Him to change somebody else's life. Are you changing people's lives? Are they seeing the miracle in your life? My golly, some of you, when you got saved, there was a miracle. It is all a miracle for us. People saw the change in your life, and they said, I want what you got. That's a miracle. That's increase. That's multiplication in your life. Let's look at this scripture. I'm going to close with this. 2 Corinthians 9:10. 2 Corinthians 9 has to be my favorite scriptures for increase and multiplication. But it says this, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals. Now, can I stop there for a second? Do you know, people, that when you give the little you give, or you give your tithes and offerings, that they're used to help somebody else increase in their life? When you give to feed the poor, or as missionaries that we're supporting around the world and home abroad, when we give that money, it's not just about the money, but it's about the increase and the multiplication it's doing in the lives in the other part of the world. Candy and I support a little girl in Thailand. She's probably 4 or 5 years old, and I write letters to her, and she colors pictures for me, and, you know, and I keep in touch, and I send her $25 for Christmas or something like that. And her family's really poor, and they can't go to school unless there's some support, so there's thousands and thousands of children that you can support. It's a good group called International Compassion International. And Ken and I have talked about supporting other ones and increasing it. But here's the thing that I found out, that one day, as that is increasing in her life, she's going to be able to multiply and increase her life into somebody else's life. Does that make sense? So your giving keeps on going, going, and going. Your giving becomes somebody else's bread. Not only their bread, but it becomes your bread. Because what you do for God's kingdom, God said, I'll take care of your business. And I believe that. When you focus on God's business, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto you. When you focus on His business, He's going to take care of yours. That's a law of multiplication and increase and it works, and it works from the beginning of time, even from the Garden of Eden. So this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. That's why giving is so important in the kingdom. That's why releasing the little you have into God's hands will multiply it gravely and dearly in his hands. That's a principle that if you can get a revelation on. Supplies means to minister in the Greek. It means epikoreigo. How many got that? Do you know what that word means? This is awesome. It means someone who pays all expenses for, plus providing income for those who take part. Do you realize that one word just for sowing seed, God gives seed to the sower and bread for food, supplies your seed that you sow? Now, if you want to give to the kingdom of God, you can ask God. He'll supply it to you. He'll find a way to get you some seed. But you better sow it. You better give it to God because that's why he supplied it. A farmer doesn't get seed and then all of a sudden sell it all where he has nothing to plant. Never. He gets the seed he needs and he sows the field so he can get more. It's a spiritual principle. Farmers understand that principle. Well, somebody, Lord, I got all this seed. I'm just going to get rid of it. What are you going to do about all the fields that are left empty? You're not going to get any more increase. But this word supplies, your seed sown, is that word, someone who pays all expenses. This is what God does for you. He will pay all expenses. Not only that, but plus providing an income for those who are a part of that. That one word. Wow. That's what God wants to do. So what God is saying, if you will do my business, I will get in on yours and I'll finance yours. I'll take care of your business. And I'll even help you increase to give more into the kingdom and help other people. God will bring it. He will help you if you will ask him and don't eat your seed. People eat the seed. They think, well, I got this money and boy, it came from, wow, this increase. So what do? They spend it instead of just releasing it unto God, increase more in the lives of people. God's never going to forsake you. He has got you covered. God orchestrates everything and provides all that is needed to bring forth his purpose in the earth. Everything. That's why God wants you to experience supernatural multiplication increase in your life, people, in every area of your life. Not just physically, not just emotionally or spiritually, but even materially, God wants to increase you to be a blessing in the earth and to be a blessing to you. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, but there's a problem when nice things have you. We're just passing through. And I've heard people say, well, if I had $1 million, I don't know what I'd do. Well, I know what I'd do. Give it to me. I'll figure it out. I've heard some stupid comments, people, in the years. Well, if I had this money, it'd probably make me turn my back on God. Well, if that money makes you turn your back on God, your heart's not really set. See, money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. I heard somebody quote that the other day. Say, well, money's the root of all evil. I said, no, it's not. It's the love of money. Read the Bible. It takes money to build orphanages. It takes money to feed children. It takes money to give Bibles. It takes money to build medical places all over the world. It takes money. God wants to use his people to loose it and let it go with the seed that you got so he can multiply it to the world and increase it in the world so he can change people's lives. That's the most selfish thing when people say, well, I got what I got and I'm just going to hang on to it. Oh. Okay, so you never want to experience the miracle of increase and multiplication in your life hang on to it. But if you want to learn to release what you have and say, God, I'm dedicating, I'm consecrating this thing unto you. It's all I got. But if you can use it for your kingdom and your glory, he's not going to let you go under. Declare and believe, people, that every portion of your life is blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Amen? Do you declare that? Well, I'm so broke, I don't know what to do. Well, keep saying that and you'll keep broker. But if you keep saying every morning when you get up, I'm blessed of the Lord, no matter how it looks, I'm blessed of God. You know why? Because I'm not on this economy, I'm on his economy. Someone the other day said, well, you know, the Rothschilds have stolen $800 trillion from this world, the Rothschilds. I said, I don't care. I don't care if Rothschilds have it all. Because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and eventually, one day, all that wealth of the Rothschilds is going to be released into the earth to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. The revamp, the rechanging up of the why should the devil have it when God can, we can use it for God's kingdom? But the Rothschilds, and you know what? I texted him back and I said this. I said, you know what? I don't care because God's my source, not the Rothschilds. The government isn't my source. God is my source because if I stay faithful to him, he's always faithful to me. Amen? If you stay faithful to him, he's got your back. And so begin to declare that everything in our life is sanctified for his purposes. It's set apart for God. Begin to believe that God has the power to take the limited things in our life and use them to feed the multitudes. Begin to believe that, people. We declare that we walk in supernatural abundance. And Father, all your grace abounds toward us in every area. Do we believe that? We have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work in the name of Jesus. And when you read that in 2 Corinthians, it says we have all sufficiency in all things. You know what that means, people? That no matter what, people will look at you and go, why is it that they're always, I mean, they're so blessed. Everything they do, everything they put their hands to is blessed. That's what that means. And the only way you can get to that position is you've got to learn to release it to God. You've got to learn to separate yourself to God. You've got to learn to consecrate it to God. You've got to learn to thank God and be thankful what you have, but also thankful for what God's going to do in your life. That's the word, and that's the law of multiplication. It's not just about money, but it's about every area of your life. To increase it for God, to be used for his glory and his purpose in the kingdom. Does that make sense? So God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. But you got to bring it to Jesus. And when you bring it to Jesus, it doesn't matter how small it is. He will take what you got. He will multiply it. He will increase it to feed the multitudes. And you know, the only thing Jesus asked of his disciples is that they would distribute what he had already blessed. They didn't do the miracle, but yet the miracle happened every time they were passing food out. Can you imagine? That basket kept filling up. The basket kept filling up, kept filling up, kept filling up. Every time they pulled a nice roll out, I love ciabatta bread. Every time they kept pulling out that bread and pulling out a piece of fish, the Bible says that they were filled. They were full. Now, that's not gluttony. That's satisfaction. And it says, and when they were filled, they picked up how many baskets? 12. How many disciples? Not only did the people get blessed and the increase happen, but God took two fish and five loaves of bread, multiplied it, And the disciples got blessed out of it. He gives seed to the sower and bread for your food. And they got the bread for their food from God by being obedient in the miracle of distributing and stepping out in faith. And I can imagine them going, oh, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. And they're starting to go to the crowds. And they're handing out the bread and the fish. And the basket never ran out. And they collected 12. Say, boys, here's a basket for you to take home. That's a good, well-paid job right there. So when you don't know when you're going to get your next, money to buy groceries. Oh, Candy and I have been there. We didn't know what we were going to eat. We were in San Francisco working on the streets with the junkies, the prostitutes, the gays. We were working in the ministry. But every time we prayed, God came through. I remember times opening up the door and there'd be a box of groceries there. I didn't know where they came from. I had no clue in the world. I didn't even tell anybody. But God always took care of us because I was taking care of what he called me to do. But the thing is, people, God wants to bless you. But in order to get blessed, you have to release what you got and give it to God. No matter what it is, your gifts, your talents, your money, you've got to learn to say it's not my money. It's God's money. And if it's God's money, you need to learn to let it go and release it so that more seed, more harvest of righteousness can come in. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. If Cheyenne, Chris, if you guys want to get ready, Al, whenever you're ready. Go ahead. Hallelujah. But let's pray this morning, people. Father, this morning we thank you for the honor and the privilege to come before your presence. We worship you. Father, this morning I ask you to take what we have and what we are willing to set apart for you and surrender to you and consecrate it and devote it with a thankful heart. I ask this morning, Father, that you would increase that, multiply that through our lives. Help us to increase and multiply in our lives to be used for a greater purpose, Lord, than maybe we've been doing, but a greater purpose in your kingdom. Father, it might mean that some changes may need to be made, but help us to make those changes so that we can be all that you called us to be for your kingdom. This morning, Father, I pray for every person in this place. I pray and I speak your blessings upon them. I speak your release in their lives. I speak increase and multiplication in their life, Father, in every area so that they can be a blessing in the earth, just like Abraham was, Father. Lord, I just pray and I ask this morning that we would humble our hearts and in humility and come under your mighty hand, realizing how much we need you. Lord, we thank you and we worship you. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I don't know if you've ever committed your life, if you haven't, but if you're here and you say, Pastor, pray for me because I need to make a change in my life. I need a commitment in my life. I just want you to just lift your hand real quick here. I want to see your hand. If you're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to release it to you, to give it up for you, to make you Lord and Savior of my life. What a great opportunity. Anybody that needs Jesus, this is the time and opportunity to say, yes, Lord, and mean it. And say, I'm ready to turn from the things in my life and give them all to you so that you can consecrate and dedicate and use them for your glory. Anybody that I can pray for, you're here. There's something I need you to think about, because eternity is only a breath away. And if you're not ready, I'm challenging you to be ready. So, Father, this morning we thank you for the privilege and the honor to serve you and to worship you. With all that's within us, we bless your name. And so, Father, I just speak blessing over your people. I speak blessing. Lord, we just speak the blessing. And, Lord, we thank you and we honor you and we give you all glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So we're going to get ready here. Chad, if you want to play that last